Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
Man, it is so good to be with you guys and have the opportunity just to share God's word with you this morning. I'm going to be in James chapter 1. As Greg said, your pastor, Pastor Heath, if this is your first Sunday, please come back. The preaching will be so much better in the weeks to come, okay? Pastor Heath and I have been friends, and Pastor Lucas, who is at Crosswinds this morning. Your pastor is down in Shalote at Coastal Church. The three of us have been great friends now for going on since 2012 and meet on a regular basis. And for quite a few years now have been spending most of July's doing this thing called Pastor Swap, where we go to each other's church and just spend some time sharing with the other body, because we want to paint a picture of unity among the churches in our community and in our county, and so it's just a great opportunity, great privilege again to be with you this morning. We are talking about Together Grateful over these next few weeks. I know that this week I'm kind of kicking it off for you guys. Next week, Pastor Lucas will be here, and then I believe Pastor Heath will be doing his Together Grateful message on the end of it. The great thing is we get to do the same message 3 weeks in a row. Yeah, it's awesome. So I can take what the parts I don't like this week, and I can change them for next week. But it is just an awesome time. Life is short. Life is short. James chapter 4 and verse 14 says that life is but a mist. It's but a vapor, depending on which translation that you read. Life is but a mist. It's but a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. And I think if there's any time, at least in my lifetime, I am now 29 years old. Just kidding. Thanks, Greg, for pointing out that I had a birthday. I'm 53 years old. Four kids, with my youngest being 7 and my oldest being 26. Yeah, go figure that one out. It's called a bad vasectomy. All right. Life is but a mist, it's but a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. And I think if there's any time in my life that I've recognized that life is short, it's when you see your kids growing up. And it's also a realization that our culture and the things that are going on around us just seem to be flying by faster than we can ever imagine. I was able to spend all of yesterday with our 26-year-old daughter who has two kids, realizing, man, I am old. Now I have two grandkids, one that Airly is 2.5, and Ada Mac is 7 months old. And so, you know, you used to always think as a teenager, you just had a lot of days in front of you, and then you blink, and all of a sudden it's your birthday, you're 53, and you realize you're old. But life is short, it's but a mist, it's but a vapor. It's here today, gone tomorrow. John 10:10 says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. In 2004, there was a tsunami. I don't know if you guys remember the headlines of the 2004. There was an earthquake in the area of Thailand, over in that region. That earthquake created this tsunami, and it killed, it's been one of the most devastating natural disasters in history. Over 250,000 people killed. I don't know if you paid attention to that time or have seen some of the images or even some of the videos of that day, but the destruction was unfathomable. And I can remember watching some of the videos where there are people like at the beach sitting there, and all of a sudden they start to see water coming, and they're kind of backing up and not really paying attention. And within just a few minutes, there are miles of stuff that's just getting swept away. And there's it's one of those things where I don't believe that they were expecting what just happened. And let's be honest, it's even continuing to happen today. I mean, let's think about Texas. I was watching a couple of videos over these last couple of days of Texas where there were some people there along the river, and they were just standing there watching. They saw some of the water coming over, and they're just not really paying attention, thinking that what was about to happen would actually happen. And what we know is that there have been these natural disasters that have continued to happen, like in Western North Carolina and in Texas. And it seems like on a more regular basis, now more than ever, we continue to see and hear these things happening. And here's what I want to start you out by helping you to understand this morning is that life is but a mist, it's but a vapor here today that we're all getting. I don't know if you know it, but you're getting older. Some of you are getting better looking, some not. Mostly the guys, all right? But life is but a mist. Time is running out. You're like, wow, what a great start to gratitude. Right? Time is running out. Time is speeding up. I think these natural events and these things that are happening, as the Bible says, the earth is groaning. Because what we know to be true is that Jesus, his return is imminent. It's coming. And I believe it's speeding up on a regular basis. And if there's anything that I want to say to you this morning is that make sure that you are making preparations. Don't be caught unaware of the tsunami and the things that are coming as we pay attention to the things that are happening in the world around us. But here's the great thing, that although time is running out and things seem to be happening on a regular basis, the great thing is that as believers, because we know who Jesus is and because we've been given his word, we don't have to fear. We don't have to be scared. We don't have to worry about what is to come. He's already told us what's to come. He's already told us what's to come. And so we just have to. One of the biggest things I have continued over these last year or so, probably, last few months, is I've continued to say to Crosswinds, hey, get into the Word. Know the truth. Don't just believe it just because I say it. Don't just believe it because Pastor Heath says it. Don't just believe it because Lucas says it. But know the Word for yourself. It's the very manual which Jesus has given us to be able to navigate life. And the only way for us to not be caught unaware, you see, because the Bible says that Jesus will come like a thief in the night. But to be honest with you, we shouldn't be surprised. Because we already know that we don't know when he's coming, but we know he's coming. He's like, oh, we didn't know that. But we do know that. We do know that he's coming, but we don't have to fear that. We don't have to be scared. And guess what? We don't have to worry, because in relationship with Jesus, we don't have to worry about what's next in our life, regardless of what it is that we may be walking through right now. So let's look at James chapter 1. We're going to read the first 12 verses. This thing, maybe my Bible's too heavy. I have the super giant print. Yeah. My staff makes fun of me. They said I could just hold it up and let everybody read it. They don't need the words on the screen. But it keeps pushing my podium down. James chapter 1. James, a servant of God, or as some translations say, a bondservant or a slave. Now, I find that really interesting. Let's be careful. Make sure that we understand a little bit of the context of this passage is that James is the half-brother of Jesus, okay? Now, I have never said in all my life, I have two older brothers and an older sister. I have never said in all my life that I am a bondservant to my brother. I don't think any of us have, but can you imagine what it must have been like for James walking alongside of Jesus? And in here he is making an acknowledgement of the fact of who Jesus is, again, solidifying the truth about who Jesus is. James, servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. I also find that word scattered interesting, was that what we know to be true in this context is that now the followers of Jesus have been scattered throughout the world at this moment. And so James is writing to the believers who have now been scattered throughout the world and to the 12 tribes among the nations. And he goes on to say this, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously without to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like what? A wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation. Since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. But verse 12, and this has been a favorite verse of mine since I was a teenager, but blessed, everybody say blessed. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive what? The crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. What an incredible passage of scripture that James gives us, the half-brother of Jesus, a bondservant, a slave to God and to his half-brother Jesus. You see, true gratitude, because here's what he says as he, verse 2, consider it pure joy. True gratitude is acknowledging not only the good gifts in our lives, but it's also especially acknowledging the gift giver. It's coming to this place where we recognize that the things that God has given to us, good, bad, and ugly, are things that God has allowed into our life. And one of the things that James is encouraging us on is to consider them as joy. Now, I don't know about you, but when I walk through difficult things, it's just like, this is exciting. This is great. I love it. But in true gratitude, it's being able to walk through the most difficult things in life. God brings about good in every circumstances for those who love him. Because here's the first truth is this. Gratitude is a choice. It's not like you walk into some of the most difficult, because we've all had difficult things. We've all walked through difficult things. Some maybe more than others. Some that may seem deeper or harder than others. And I don't think we walk in those thinking, man, I just really love when life sucks, right? We don't do that. But gratitude is a choice that when we have to navigate the difficult things in life, that we have to find some way. I'm not sure, listen to me, I'm not sure how people nowadays without Jesus navigate all that there is going on in life. And maybe you're here this morning and maybe you've never given your life to Christ. And maybe you're just trying to figure things out. What I do know is that when it seems like the world around us just seems to be falling apart. I think oftentimes people try to figure out what is going on. And the reality of it is, even if you're a believer here this morning, you probably go into the marketplace and you go into work every single day. And the reality of it is that you have to be a light in a very dark world. And you have the privilege to, it always bothers me when I know people are believers, but you would never know it because they seem more miserable. If there's anything that a believer in Christ should have, it's being able to navigate life with gratitude and hope, not worry and fear. And so gratitude is a choice. So let me give you a couple of truths that come from this passage. The first thing is this, as Paul said in the very second verse of this, be grateful in the hard things. Be grateful in the hard things. You see, the practice of gratitude aligns our minds with the truth. The practice of gratitude, it aligns our minds with the truth. We don't have to fake or force the emotion of happiness. All we are called to do is confess the truth about God, even if we do so while we're crying. Even while we may be emotional about the things that are going on, the practice of gratitude aligns our minds with the truth. And this is what is so brilliant about gratitude. More than just acknowledging the good that comes from God, the practice of gratitude aligns our minds with the truth. Whether we are feeling down or downright suffering, the enemy will use whatever he can to discourage us and tempt us to wallow in self-pity while ruminating on the bad. But when we give in to this temptation, we are not recognizing the truth. We are giving in to the lie of the hopelessness and the despair. We may suffer, yes, and we're going to suffer, yes, but we need to never despair. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to remain grounded in the truth. And in all things, God works for the good of those who loved him. Who love him are called according to his purpose. So be grateful in the hard things. Don't let the enemy keep you as a victim of your circumstance. Right? John 10:10, the enemy comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Not just to wound. Right? Not just to put a scratch. But the enemy's doing everything he can to kill you. To destroy you, to make you feel like there is only a sense of hopelessness. And when we walk through difficult things, and let's be honest, we all probably need some form of counseling. If we're really honest, we all need some form of counseling. We need there are deep wounds probably in all of us. I don't know that I connect with anybody as a pastor nowadays who doesn't have at least some deep wounds in their life that they're having to navigate and they're having to work through and they're having to begin to say, man, how do I balance what has happened in my life? Because let's be honest, even if it's not happening now, you probably made some dumb decisions as a teenager that are still creating some problems in your life. I don't know if you know it, but your choices oftentimes follow you into adulthood. And most of the times, what happens in adulthood is we don't deal with it, is we just suppress it. And then all of a sudden, when life starts to get really hard with other things, then all of a sudden, those things that we were suppressing all those times, now they start to explode in our life. But don't be a victim of your circumstances. Gratitude isn't denial. Gratitude isn't denial. It's acknowledging that God is at work through the hardship. You see, because trials, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces, come on now, produces perseverance, or some translations say patience. And I'll get to that in just a moment. Because trials refine our faith. In 2017, between 2017 and 2023, I'm really thankful that I had not only a really good wife, but I also had some really good friends named Pastor Heath and Pastor Lucas, because I walked through a six-year period of what I believe was a spirit of crushing. You ever felt like when it rains, it pours? Like, and you can look back the past, and it just seems like it's interesting. Pastor Heath and I are chaplains, and I learned recently that what first responders often do, and some of you guys are that, they do trauma stacking. And that's what happens in our life. When we navigate something really hard, and if we don't deal with it, what happens is you just stack it. You just stack it. And there are often times where first responders can go back years and years ago, and they can actually recall an event and all the detail of that event, but they can't remember what happened yesterday, right? And that's not a negative thing. I can't remember. I'm 53. I can't remember what happened yesterday. But I went through this season of crushing where God just refined me. Summer of 2017, I found out that my mom had actually been lying to me about something for 45 years. There was something that she had been hiding from our family for 45 years. And to be honest, at that time, I was, 2017, that was, how many years ago was that? However long ago that was. You can do the math. It crushed me. Literally crushed me to the point of I sat with my mom. I actually dealt with for a whole month. I told Ashley and I told my other siblings. I said, if I never see my mom again, I'll be okay with that. And over the course of this next month, what God used that situation to do, to crush me, to refine my faith. And finally, I went and sat in front of my mom and had a very difficult conversation and said, hey, I came today believing that if I never saw you again, I'd be okay. But here's what God did in that crushing. He brought me to this place. He's like, what's your problem? God all of a sudden began to point the finger at me and said, what's your problem? You're no different. You've done some of the exact same things. She's a sinner just like you. And you can't forgive? And all of a sudden, the Lord had to help me begin to walk through forgiveness. And in a few short months, we had another child. After 15 years of having vasectomy. I'm not sure. What are you doing? Right? I mean, our youngest daughter was getting ready to go off to college. We were becoming empty nesters. I'm like, woo, man, this is going to be awesome. And God gave us a child. And he's been the greatest blessing. In 2018, my dad passed away. 2019, my mom died. 2020, COVID pandemic, and I'm a pastor. And that was just like hell all over during that season. April 2020, I got a pacemaker because I wasn't sure what was, my body was doing weird things. April 2020, my oldest daughter got married. I don't know if you've had a child get married, but that's hard. It's hard to walk through. I mean, yeah, you're excited. Like, woo, don't have to pay for her no more. But to be honest with you, they come around more than they did then. It's really weird how that happens. From 2020 to 2023, I dealt with anxiety. Like 3 years of anxiety, almost every night waking up, like feeling like I can't sleep and having to wake Ashley up in the middle of the night, like, you got to pray for me. My legs are shaking. I can't stop the shaking that's going on. My brain's just running crazy. Like, I don't know what's going on with me. 2022, I took a sabbatical in the fall of 2022. I had the hardest month in the life of Crosswinds Church. And December of 2022, our oldest daughter, Allie, was diagnosed with cancer. In January of 2023, I was almost stabbed by a person who didn't like what I had been saying up on stage. And it was this season of crushing for me. It felt like trauma stacking, that there were all these things that God was using not realizing that what God was doing was he was actually allowing these things that were crushing me to refine my faith. Because here I am today, 2025, and I can pretty much look back at that season of my life and say, I would not be where I am today had God not allowed those things in my life. The season of crushing. I don't know about you. I imagine you've walked through the same things, but it was easy. Like, there were some of those things that I'm just like, I tried to use the victim card on. Why me, God? Why are you doing this to me? Why are they doing this to me? Why are they saying this about me? And all of a sudden, I had to be careful that I didn't become the victim of my circumstances, but I walked in victory because God allowed those circumstances to refine my faith. And so don't be an enemy. Don't let the enemy keep you as a victim of your circumstances, but be grateful in the small things. Greg Surratt says, joy doesn't always show up in the big moments. It hides in the quiet. Right? Joy doesn't always show up in the big moments. It hides in the quiet, everyday things that we often overlook. What did James say? He says that it produces perseverance, or it produces patience. In the ancient Greek, the word is hupomone, hupomone, H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E, hupomone, or hupomone. This word does not describe a passive waiting, but an active endurance. It's not sitting around in a waiting room. It's what helps you finish a marathon. Patience, perseverance is active. It's active endurance. So my question to you is, how is God refining you? What is it that God is using to refine you in this season of your life? And here's what I know to be true. You're like, hey, Pastor Chris, life's pretty good right now. You've either come through a difficult season, you're either in the midst of a difficult season, or there is just a difficult season that's on the horizon. For some of us, there may be a tsunami that's coming. That what God is doing is he's not only using the past, he's not only using the present, but he's trying to prepare us for what's to come, right? Don't be surprised. Consider it what? Joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. How is God refining you? And then what is James going to say? He says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, I know some of you thought that when you got married, your spouse completed you. I don't believe the lie. As Jerry Maguire would say, you complete me, right? The truth is that these difficult things are what God is using to mature us and complete us so that we're not lacking anything. And what is James going to say? But if any of you lacks wisdom, what should you do? You should ask who gives generously without finding fault. So the second truth here is this. Ask the Lord for wisdom in the midst of the suffering. In the midst of the suffering, ask the Lord for wisdom. Pray with gratitude for wisdom. Because it's oftentimes that in the most difficult of circumstances, we need an answer. We need God's help. We need him to help us navigate through that. James 1:6, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. A wave of the sea is a fitting description of one who is hindered by unbelief and unnecessary doubts. Now, I want you to think for this about, for just a moment. Think about the tsunami. A wave of the sea is without rest, and so is the doubter. A wave of the sea is unstable, and so is the doubter. A wave of the sea is driven by the winds, and so is the doubter. A wave of the sea is capable of great destruction, and so is the doubter. And so what James says is, but anyone who asks should not doubt. But the one who doubts will be like a wave of the sea. They will be tossed by the wind. And that's why I want to drive you back to the Word of God. Consider it joy, my brothers and sisters. Ask for wisdom. Walk in gratitude, even in those difficult times. Know the truth. As the Word says, the truth will set you free, even in the most difficult times. The only way for us to navigate what's in front of us, forget what's behind you. The only way for us to navigate what's in front of us, because time is running out. Life is but a mist. It's but a vapor here today. There's a tsunami coming. Jesus is coming back, and we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. And so we walk in gratitude. We live in gratitude for what's to come. So what do you need to ask the Lord for? Ask. Anyone who lacks wisdom, ask, and it will be given to you. And the last truth is this, live in gratitude for what's to come. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. But look at Matthew chapter 24, if you got your Bibles. But about the day or the hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. And so we live in gratitude for what's to come. You see, this is not the end. As believers, if you're a follower of Jesus, we don't have to walk in fear. We don't have to walk in worry, but we walk in joy for what's to come, because we know that it's not the end. We know it's just the beginning. Part of your strongest witness as a believer in Christ is the gratitude in which you live. And I want to finish with James 12, if the band wants to come on back up. James 1:12. It says this, but blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive what? The crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. As I told you guys earlier, Heath and I are chaplains. I had to go on my first call a few months ago as a chaplain to do a death notification to a family. The wife had passed away. The husband didn't know it. And it was a pretty ugly situation. They had gotten in a fight right before she actually passed away. Myself, along with two other Brunswick County Sheriff and a Leland Police Department person, showed up at this man's house. He wasn't there yet. He comes pulling in the driveway, and he begins to say, you know, where's my wife, where's my wife? And we pretty much had to say, she's passed away. And he flipped out. And to be honest with you, it's one of the hardest situations I've ever navigated in 28 years of ministry. Because to be honest with you, words are insufficient. in a moment like that. And it was a few weeks after that that I actually went for this kind of debrief time. And that's where I learned about this whole trauma stacking. I sat in a room with guys who were first responders, and they talked about this trauma stacking in your brain. I don't know what that's like, to be honest with you, other than what I have experienced myself, but I can't imagine what it must be like to be a first responder and seeing that every single day. And some of you guys, you are that first responder. Thank you so much for what you do. Because what you see, what you hear, it has to be challenging. But here's my challenge to you this morning. What if we started gratitude stacking? Let's allow the gratitude to outweigh the trauma. Let's allow the gratitude to outweigh the discouragement. Let's allow the gratitude to outweigh the worry. Some of you are worried financially. Some of you are worried about where this, what's happening with our nation, maybe even politically, but definitely spiritually. But as the scripture says, we should consider it all joy whenever we face trials of many kinds, because we know that the testing of our faith produces perseverance. So my last thought to you this morning is this: gratitude is a choice. It's a choice that we make to trust all the things that God is doing in our lives. All the things that, it's not like God's surprised by the things that are happening in our world around us. It's not like God's surprised by the things that are going on in our life, what our family's doing, what our job's doing, what our kids are doing, what's happening in our schools and what's happening in our government, what's happening to our neighbors. It's not like God's going, well, I didn't know that was going to happen. But as believers, and what we know to be true about who he is, not what we know to be true about what the pastor says, what we know to be true about what his word says, is that he's not surprised by the things that are happening, and that we can choose to have gratitude and trust all the things that God is doing in our lives and around the world. Will you walk in gratitude? Will you gratitude stack for what's to come? Let's pray. God, I know that sitting here this morning, probably there are all of us who can look back at some of the things in our life that have created hurt, pain and trauma. There may be some even here right now that feel the weight. They feel the weight of that pain. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you would start to give them a new perspective, a transformation of their heart, where they start to look at the things that, although they're heavy and they hurt and they're painful, God, that they can turn their hearts and their minds in a direction that is able to say, Lord, I don't understand it, but thank you that you are in control and I am not. And so, God, would you allow them to feel that weight being released from them this morning. God, would they put on your yoke this morning and know that you carry the weight of the pain, and the hurt and the worry that we feel, and that our only response this morning is gratitude and to look forward to what's to come. That although your word says that inwardly we're wasting away, that outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. God, I pray that you would give us as the body of Christ the ability to walk through life with extreme gratitude to the world around us, but also being reminded that your return is coming, and look forward to what's to come. God, I pray for anyone in here this morning who doesn't know you. If you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you never said yes to him, my encouragement to you is before you leave this day, before you leave this moment, would you say yes to Jesus? Because there is a tsunami that's coming. That's not to try and cause you to fear, but to cause you to understand the truth that without Jesus, your next step is not heaven without Jesus. Hell is real. And that is what's to come without Jesus. But with Jesus and with a relationship with him, we don't have to fear of what's to come. Maybe you're here this morning, you just need to ask the Lord for something. You're navigating some difficult, painful things, and you need wisdom in this situation. Ask, and don't doubt. Boldly ask, and trust the one who gives us everything we need for every situation at always the right time. Lord, we love you, and we give you glory and honor and praise for who you are. It's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.